Between the Margins on CHRW 94.9 FM. My name is Michelle Boyce, and I've got our new co-host here, Bailey Lemon, and she's helping us out here at Between the Margins, doing what we do. And Between the Margins is a show about human rights and people's pursuit of happily ever after. And today's show, we have a really amazing woman in the studio. She's known online, on the web. She's got Life with Maha blog, and she's a journalist here at Between the Margins. She's been helping us out probably since our inception with various stuff. And she's a cancer survivor.
Kind of a big deal.
We're a big fan of Maha around here. And today we're talking about cancer fundraising. And, you know, we're not exactly talking about cancer fundraising in the way that anybody has looked at this topic before. And we're gonna push some buttons today. And if you want to bring in your two cents worth, write this number down, 519-661-3600, to call into the studio and add your two cents to this topic. You're probably going to want to, because yeah, we're going to push it a little here. And, you know, this is November, been renamed as Movember. Mm-hmm. And if you've been living under a rock and don't know what that is, we've got a little introduction click here to introduce to you to the concept of this new fundraising campaign that, you know, it's a couple of years old, but they're raising a few billion dollars for cancer.
My favorite mustache is, I guess, the one I'm rocking now. This is my go-to. It's very 80s porn. My name is Adam Garoni. I'm CEO and one of the co-founders of Movember, the month formerly known as November, where we get men to grow mustaches to raise awareness and funds for men's health, specifically prostate cancer. Essentially, I'm a mustache farmer, and our season is November. In Australia, Mo is slang for mustache. Movember started in a really non-traditional way, but in a very traditional Australian way. It was over beers on a Sunday afternoon with my brother and another mate, and I was talking about 70s fashion, how everything comes back into style, and the conversation turned to, you know, what hasn't come back and whatever happened to the moustache. And the day ended with a challenge to bring back the moustache. Let's choose November, rename it Movember, and create the basic rules, which start the month clean shaven, grow a moustache for 30 days, and raise awareness and funds. It really is a grassroots movement. And, you know, at its heart, it is a little bit rebellious. And a lot of guys do Movember to annoy their girlfriends, to annoy their bosses. And it's validated because they're doing it for a good cause.
I get comments ranging from, wow, that's a killer moustache, or something like, wow, what are you doing? And that one's the best because I say, well, I'm participating in Movember. Have you heard of Movember?
And the best thing about being a Mobro is doing my part. You know, I don't think we have a choice. You have to do something. Everybody has to do something.
Mo sisters are the lovely, gorgeous girls in our lives that support us, no matter how bad or good we look.
I just think they're sexy.
I am a Mo sister. As a Mo sister, just like a Mo bro, we go to Movember.com and register. We participate in the galas, we fundraise. Pretty much anything that a guy can do, well, we just don't grow. Becoming a Mo sister is definitely a great way to meet guys. I mean, asking a guy about his mustache is the ultimate pickup line.
During Movember 2004, which was our first fundraising year, we had 450 guys in Australia, and together we raised $54,000. With the advent of social media, your reach, personally, is so much greater through Twitter and through Facebook. Cut to Movember 2010, we had 450,000 guys spread across the world, and we raised $81 million. 10 years from now, I firmly believe that through the power of Movember, that we can effectively cure prostate cancer.
So, you know, that gives you an idea of what Movember is all about, in case you didn't already know. A lot of people don't know that it actually is a fundraiser. Something people think that it's just an awareness campaign, and we'll get into a lot of that lately. But, you know, just to give you the good side of this before we tear it apart, let's see, you know, 854,000 global participants in 2011 raised $125.7 million Canadian dollars. In Canada, there was 245,000 participants, and it raised $42 million for this. So, you know, it's raising a lot of money, and you know, a lot of where the dollars go, a good portion of it goes to Prostate Cancer Canada Network, which you know, if you check into them as a charity, they actually have 80% of their revenue goes into research, public education, and programs. So in charity world, 20% of your revenues going out is pretty good. Now, that's just one of the charities that they have. I mean, I do have problems with the amount of money that goes other places with this campaign. But that, you know, that tends to be an issue with cancer fundraising. And Maha, now that we've introduced Movember, let's introduce Maha.
Hi. I'm not a big fan of Tom Selleck, so this month is terrifying for me. No, I mean, I definitely agree with a lot of what was said in that video, too. I mean, about him, especially he already validated one of my points, saying that, you know, when people look at him and they're, you know, some of them are offended by the mustache, he said it himself, it validates what he's doing because he's doing it for cancer. And to me, I've been, I mean, as you mentioned, I've been exposed to cancer myself. I've been exposed to breast cancer. And I think that all those campaigns, they really do spark interest in people, and they really do push the limits to try to spark interest in people, and they try to build a bonding community. Like in this month, you have the Mo Bros. So there's definitely that male bonding, that bromance that flourishes during this month. But I think a lot of people, you know, get lost in these campaigns as well, raising money and having, you know, raising a lot of money for these campaigns is looked at as a good thing. You're raising money to help research, but what else are you doing? What kind of awareness are you raising? It's not raising awareness anymore. It's just raising money. It becomes almost like a corporation where you're marketing something and you're profiting off of it. You stick, you know, pink ribbons or whatever mustaches on any product, and you can sell it, and you can validate that because it's for cancer. So we're almost building like a desensitized nation to what's really happening, to what the real issues are. And I really do have a problem with that. I mean, where we are focusing on the physical, where we should be taking this opportunity as a community, as, you know, this nation that's coming together to do something that's going to, you know, keep the ideals that we have for this, for these campaigns, instead of focusing on something that's going to die off. So I do have a problem with it. I support the fact that people are going out there and they're trying to raise awareness and raise money. But we shouldn't lose the, you know, the core of it.
Exactly. And you know, you've been through a pretty major struggle yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you've been through all of not only breast cancer but reconstructive surgery and all of these things. And another campaign that we're going to talk about a little bit later on the show is the I Love Boobies campaign.
Yay. My favorite.
Which is another favorite topic of Maha. So let's look at this. There's a dating coach that has put out a Movember support YouTube video, and let's listen to what she has to say, and then talk about a little bit of, you know, some of the issues that are happening around these campaigns.
Hey guys, it's Deanna Lorraine from San Diego, California, the dating and relationship coach, and today I wanted to talk to you about a very important cause, and that is Movember. That is the time when the mustache combines with the month of November to come together and create a very powerful movement for men's health. So I want you to sport your sexy mustaches for the month of November. It is not too late to raise funds and raise awareness for Movember. And most women find it quite sexy. I'll have to say, I am still strongly attracted and have a very powerful crush on Tom Selleck because of that mustache. So this is a great time to raise awareness, raise funds for men's health, especially prostate cancer. Join the movement. Men all around the world are growing their mustaches this month. Grow your mustache. Get some women. You can be a total babe magnet if you wear that mustache. And it's for a very important cause for men's health.
Tom Selleck. Oh my God, curse you, Tom Selleck. She basically again validated my point. We're turning it into the physical. We're focusing on things that have nothing to do with the actual cancer, with the actual disease. I do understand how, you know, if you're loud about something, you will get people's attention. I get that. But again, these campaigns are not, they're not meant to be just for fun. They're also meant to really help out people who are struggling amongst us. I mean, I for one, during the month of October, when we have Breast Cancer Awareness Month, I also feel like I'm marginalized, even though I'm being part of this collective. It still pushes people who are struggling to the side. And I the whole sexy mustache thing, it really creeps me out and offends me on so many different levels.
Yeah, it's really become more about that image, right? Just that image around culture, like that,
like
Movember culture. And yeah, the question, something to think about is, like, what are people actually doing for, like, for the people who are currently affected by cancer?
Let's talk about hair.
Yeah, that was one of the first things. You're walking around, you're growing your mustache, and I mean, a lot of people, again, I don't want to knock it, because a lot of people are trying, they create these Mo spaces, and you can go and you can donate. But the whole association, again, you're creating this symbol that has nothing to do with the cancer or with the disease. When you're undergoing radiation and chemotherapy, you're going to lose your hair. So it's almost like society saying to you, hey, we get you, we support you, and we're going to support you by doing the absolute opposite of what you can do. And I think that loss of association is very important. It's something that this is the time for us to, you know, we're looking at all these people all around the world who are coming together for this great campaign. And instead of pushing aside all the issues that we really should focus on, we create this symbol that has nothing to do with the disease. And I think that on its own is offensive.
I hear ya. And let's talk about misogyny and...
Oh, yeah.
And let's talk...
My favorite. Oh,
you know, how about this, you know, we're going to go more into this in the show, but a lot of these fundraisers have gone off track.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You've got the fundraising for prostate cancer... Which, let's face it, any fundraising that's going to actually do some good is a great thing. And then we've got Movember, which seems to have gone off the rails on so many levels.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and all of a sudden, instead of talking about male cancer, we're talking about females' roles in relationships. Right?
Yeah.
Like, all of a sudden, we're talking about women riding handlebars and the sexualization and degrading of women. And how does any of this come into play with fundraising for cancer?
Well, isn't it on their website? It says every man deserves to grow a little bit of luxury, and they really push forward. Like even the layout of their website is very nostalgic, and the whole mustache look is very masculine. And they call them heroes. They name themselves heroes, like the guys who are growing the mustaches. And I think that on its own, I mean, they're not trying to break away from gender binaries. They're enforcing them, and they're reassuring them and reinstating them. And I think a lot of people are going to feel left out in that kind of image that you're putting out there. Females were being reduced to what were they calling them? The Mo sisters or something like that.
Yeah, something like
so
that.
So support your man because he's a masculine lumberjack. You know, like No, seriously, it almost seems like we're reinforcing this idea of the alpha male, the Don Draper, the scotch drinking lumberjack. And I think it's going to push a lot of, also like in the gay community, it's going to really push a lot of men who would choose to show more of their feminine side. And I mean, even a real man will have both sides to him, and we're basically telling men that if you want to be a hero, and this whole idea of a hero has to be this very rugged, masculine man who's being supported by his Mo sister. It's disgusting, and it's offensive.
Yeah, you know, and that's one of the parts of this campaign that is disturbing is, you know, we've done shows here on the air about, you know, benevolent sexism, and we've done shows about, you know, rape culture, and we've done shows about all of these environments, and all of these shows are attacking this environment that is created and has been created about these roles and stereotypes that society mm-hmm. has. And here, all of a sudden, we're trying to eradicate a horrible disease, and by doing that, we're reinforcing stereotypes.
Definitely, definitely. And not just with Movember. I mean, you get it. It almost seems like they're trying to take on that corporate idea of sex sells. And it does. I mean, it is loud and it's going to get people's interest. But what you're, you know, just because you're taking a sticker that says, I support, you know, this cancer campaign, and you're making yourself out to be a hero, doesn't mean that you're actually helping in any way. You could be helping in the fact that it's profiting. But what are you really raising awareness for? What about the rest of the year? Where does that idea go? Ideals don't die, but money, I mean, it could change. It can, any month, we can change it. Fads change. Fads come and go.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what's going to happen at the end of November, right? Like,
yeah,
everyone's going to forget about it for another year until next November rolls around. And then
definitely, all
of a sudden, cancer is a big issue again, and everyone cares again.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, like...
So we're basically into an ends justify the means argument,
yeah,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about a campaign that is raising a lot of money, and let's face it, we need a lot of money to battle these things, but at what cost? I mean, that's pretty much what we're talking about here, and is at what cost are we having these financial advancements, and a lot of the money that is raised by Movember
mm-hmm.
goes back to Movember as a campaign. So, I mean, if you look at their website and where the funding goes, you know, they in Canada they fund this one agency, which is the Prostate Cancer Canada, and then the rest of the money goes back to Movember to perpetuate the Movember campaign.
So it is like a marketing, it's almost like its own corporation. It's being marketed straight back into the campaign.
Exactly. And there's absolutely I have not looked anywhere or found anywhere on their website where they disclose how much of that money goes to Prostate Cancer Canada and how much money it goes back to the Movember campaign themselves, whereas Prostate Cancer and every other charitable agency always makes that amount of, you know, how much are you spending on admin? How much you're spending on marketing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how much money are you spending on everything else? And when that information on a campaign that's raising $125 million isn't readily available to me, that sends up this red flag to me
mm-hmm.
that who is profiting.
Yeah, and this is something I think about a lot personally when it comes to any charity, not just cancer fundraising, but it's like you're commodifying a human problem that we need to be finding a solution for. You know, like there's a lot of money being made, like you said, Michelle, and it's like, what's going to happen when we find that cure, right? Or if we already have found a cure, you know, because people are making a lot of money. And how is that going to affect people, you know, if, you know what I mean? It's almost like, there can't be an end to it, because that's going to be the end of profit, You know, like, let's say we find a cure for cancer, and, you know, that means that cancer research, you know, all the money that goes into that, people are going to lose a lot of money. And I feel like that, with any charity, that's almost like...
counterintuitive.
Yeah. Because it should be something that you wanna be able to, like, people who are committed to these causes, like, it's almost like something you wanna work yourself out of, right? Because you wanna find a cure, you wanna come to the end, but it's turned into something that it almost looks like there's never going to be an end, and people almost don't want there to be an end because it's turned into, like you said, Maha, like almost like a corporation.
And that's why it's very important when we talk about symbols and associations with these campaigns. To me, image, I mean, we are a very visual culture, and I think that's what it comes down to it at the end, is that how are they going to prolong those corporate fundraisers? They're going to play up on your vulnerability, and they're going to try to associate something that you can never get out of your head. And I'm sorry, but, you know, watching a whole bunch of Tom Selleck's walk around the city is not only crazy, but it doesn't get out of your head. That's all that you see, which is why, I mean, we think about it, we laugh about it, but that's a symbol that's being lost. It's being lost in a whole campaign. And it's really important when you talk about symbolism and association, because it really does take away from the actual affair, from the prolonged affair of cancer. We're not talking about mortality rates, which are real. We're not talking about the disease, which is real. We're not talking about, you know, funding, causes, prevention. We're not talking about that until somebody asks you. I've seen so many guys out there who've had people ask them. Nobody asks anymore, right? Nobody asks. But when people do ask, it's, oh, I'm raising money for cancer. And that's where it stops. That's where it starts, and that's where it ends. Okay, tell me about the prevention. Tell me about the cause. Oh, well, you can go on their website. Who's going to do that? Like, if you're going to be the walking symbol for this campaign, be prepared to answer some serious questions. And I find that people don't. Or maybe just everybody wants to look like Tom Selleck.
Maybe. Well, you know, let's go a little bit more into the gutter on this one. And believe it or not, this campaign can slide further. And you know, this one here is completely, in my opinion, inappropriate. So, and, okay, we're going to play it now.
It's that time of year again.
It's November.
It's November.
The time of year when men everywhere are sprouting patchy little lip sweaters for Movember.
Movember is a cause in which men grow mustaches
to help fight testicular and prostate cancer.
And ball cancer.
But you know who else hates cancer? Women hate cancer.
Women? Women.
Everybody hates cancer.
Cancer's a real a-hole.
Cancer steals titties. Cancer steals balls.
I saw cancer kick a dog.
Cancer loves Glenn Beck and it hates nachos.
Cancer steals grandmas and grandpas and moms and dads.
Cancer gave me crabs and didn't even call me back. Thanks a lot, cancer.
As a woman, what can I do?
What can I do? What can I do?
Most women can't grow a mustache. You know, I can't grow a full mustache.
Sure, I can grow a beard and a few hairs on my boobs, but that's it.
Women can have sex with a guy who has a mustache.
The woman's answer to Movember.
Have sex with a guy with a mustache day.
Have sex with a guy with a mustache day.
You're not a whore if it's for charity.
Glad to.
So simple.
So women of the world. Women of the world, on November 18th, we ask you, we beg you, bone down with a dude who has a mustache.
Have sex with a mustachioed American. That's the first time I've ever heard that, and I hope that's the last I'll ever hear that.
This is to raise funds for cancer.
Oh, God. Michelle, I think you should take it from here.
Yeah, you know, as everybody sighs this collective sigh of, oh my, I mean, where do we start? You're not a whore if it's for...
Not only are they playing on more stereotypes and trying to offend the whole nation now, but really... It has nothing to do with the campaign in any way. I mean, I could see it from their perspective that, you know, they're telling guys, hey, if you go out and you do this for cancer, you're going to get a lady. But that's not the point. And I don't, I'm just highly offended by that.
Yeah, so it's, Yeah, so, you know, I'm a sex worker advocate, and you know, I am extremely positive if you want to, you know, have sex for money or, you know, have sex for charity. But I'm really not sure that we want to attach that image, because there's no fundraising here. There's nothing. I mean, this is what support men by randomly having sex with a stranger because he happens to be wearing a mustache thing.
Yeah, and then asking what can women do, as if
that's our only role.
Yeah, exactly, right? Exactly.
Come on, Bailey, didn't you know that? Come on, 2012.
Yeah, so, you know, like I said, we're sliding a little bit further into the gutter on cancer fundraising. And I mean, I'm a big supporter of raising funds. And I mean, that has to keep being put out there, because, you know, anything that people are doing, it, you know, does create money. But when you're creating a campaign that sexualizes, you know, the marketing campaign, but I mean, a lot of the work that we do with cancer survivors, I mean, Maha, you can speak better than anyone about this, is body image.
Yeah.
Reinforcing self-image, breaking down of stereotypes, you know, breaking down this thing about masculinity, and, you know, if you have testicular cancer, you know, there's a huge image there about losing your manhood with losing your testicles.
And that's why, I mean, one of the things that really, really strikes me as inappropriate with all these campaigns is that there is a focus on the physical, which is the first part of you that you do lose to cancer. I mean, we're not even touching on the bigger issues, the emotional and the mental association of it, but the physical aspect is the first thing that you will notice. And what I really noticed about these campaigns is that breast cancer campaigns, you have the two evils. You have this image of a hairless, you know, bald mother, daughter, friend, and it's always a very romanticized, idealistic view of it, and it's this image that you see everywhere, and she's surrounded by children, and she's smiling, and keep this positive, upbeat. Nobody's talking about, you know, what chemo does to you and the horrific side effects that you're going to have of it. You're not always going to be positive and sunshine. And then you have this other image of, you know, don't lose your breast to cancer. It's all about your breast. Save your breast. Don't, you know, it's very taboo subject, I find, and people don't talk about it. So instead of talking about it, they say, you know what? You're going to lose them. We want you to keep them, because that's what defines that's what defines a female. This is the hyper feminine world that we live in. If you don't got it, you're not a part of it. So please save them. Do whatever you can to save them. But they're not talking about saving yourself. So we want to continue to objectify you. And then with Movember, they, you know, we're not talking about men, you know, going through radiation or chemotherapy. We're talking about growing your mustache to reinforce the fact that you're this masculine man.
Exactly. And we'll be back with I Love Boobies after these commercial breaks on Between the Margins here on CHRW 94.9 FM.
We are all in this together, brothers and sisters. We can do better.
And welcome back to Between the Margins, a show about human rights and people's pursuit of happily ever after. I'm Michelle Boyce. I'm here with Bailey Lamont and Maha Elsababi, and we're talking about cancer fundraising, the pros, the good, the bad, the ugly, which we just had. and I do want to point out that I was totally mistaken that there is a chart on Movember.com's website showing where the money goes. Unfortunately, it does just say 89% to programs. It doesn't say how many of those programs are their own marketing programs, how many of those are their own initiatives, and it doesn't actually show how much goes to Prostate Cancer Canada, but there is a graph there that shows that the 89% goes to what they classify as programs, although that's not broken up. So So the information is there a little bit, and we will try to get more information on that and put it up on our blogs. But, yeah, let's talk about boobies. Just to give everybody an idea of what we're talking about, there's these I Love Boobies bracelets that that say keep abreast, raise some funds for breast cancer. And I've got a montage I put together of various news clips that that are out there about these. A lot of it is related to schools and these bracelets in schools, but gives you an idea of what this campaign is.
A student's support for the fight against breast cancer got him yanked out of the classroom today.
One particular bracelet is now stirring controversy at a Williamsville middle school. News 4's Lori Schultz is working on this story tonight. Lori?
Well, today the teen's parents called Call for Action, alerting us to a controversial issue that many school districts across the country are dealing with. In this case, the student was allowed to return to class while the matter was looked into, and tonight there's an outcome.
Forget silly bands. 13-year-old Brian Lafferty says the new in thing among teens are these bracelets, emblazoned with the words, I love boobies.
All my friends take it very seriously.
Boys and girls.
Yes.
The 8th grade Mill Middle student's been wearing the wristband since the start of school. But today he was sent to the principal's office after refusing a teacher's request to remove them. The teacher thought it was in poor taste and violated school rules.
KHQ local news reporter Tom Durian is live to explain tonight. Tom?
I heart boobies. The words are on them, and of course it's a play on the phrase. It wasn't the message to support a cure for breast cancer, but rather the language used, according to the principal there, John McCoy. He asked the students to take off the bracelets late last week. 9 of them didn't, and they were suspended for defiance. So today, a compromise. The principal said the bracelets can be worn if they were turned inside out, just as if they were an offensive t-shirt. We talked to students this afternoon about the controversy.
Just depends on the person, really.
We're all in high school, so it's not like we're in elementary. When we hear the word boobies, it's not like we giggle for half an hour about it.
Stirring conversation and even controversy.
If you're supporting a cause, what does it matter the way that you do it?
When you use a slogan like that, is that something that should be in schools?
The bracelets say, I love boobies, and have been banned from the Baltic High School. Because even the students will admit, the message has more than just one meaning.
I pretty much had it just to, you know, to kick out of it, you know, just because it says I love boobies mostly.
There's people who wear it for the awareness, and there's also people that wear it just because it says boobies.
Most of us like to have it as a joke, kind of, oh, hey, you know, this is awesome. It has boobies on it.
Principal Jim Eisenbright says the ban is sparking national attention, but it's putting him in a bind right here in Baltic.
If you say, no, we're not going to allow them, it's going to appear that we're insensitive to the cause, which is not, absolutely not the case at all. But at the same time, you also have people in the community who would be upset if that is allowed.
For those who support the cause, they will now need to find another way to show their support. And in Baltic, bracelets won't be the place to start. Melissa Payne, KDLT News.
We asked people around school how they felt about the I Heart Boobies bracelets.
I love the boobies bracelets because it shows the awareness for breast cancer.
I don't think they're offensive. I think they're supporting a really good cause, and I think it's kind of funny. But I support the cause. So every bracelet they sell goes to breast cancer. So that's all that matters.
I think it's making a lot of money for breast cancer awareness of it. So it's a very good campaign.
I think it's an awesome campaign that helps out a great cause.
I like the campaign because all the money goes to help breast cancer.
I really like the I Heart Boobies campaign because it's a great way to get breast cancer out there in the public eye. And it's kind of fun. Lots of people really like the bracelets, like what you have on, but they love wearing the t-shirts as well. And it really stimulates people to talk about breast cancer.
The result? Despite state education law that supported a ban, he and his friends now have the constitutional right to wear the bracelets, as per a recent federal court ruling, so long as they're not disruptive to the learning environment.
Well, legal precedent allows a school to ban or prohibit lewd speech, but the federal court found that the bracelets were not lewd in the context in which they were worn. These bracelets sell for about $5. In only a year's time, the nonprofit group raised millions of dollars for breast cancer research. Live, Lori Schultz, News 4.
And live with Maha.
Okay.
let me break it down to you, okay? I vented about this on Facebook, on Twitter. I've exhausted every social media that I could find just so I could talk about this and vent about this. And this is not coming from someone who's simply a breast cancer survivor, and a woman, a female, whatever you want to call it. This is coming from someone who actually cares about this campaign. Even if I was not diagnosed by it, even if I didn't have it in my life, if I was not affected by it, The bracelet itself is not the problem. The meaning, you know, when they're talking about the word boobies and they're laughing about it.
Hello.
Sorry about that. That's not the issue. The issue is not the meaning. The issue is not the meaning. The problem with the bracelet is you know, the symbol behind it. It's the whole idea behind it. The I Love Boobies campaign, that is not awareness. They throw the word awareness around a lot. And I find that when you do that, just like I said, you know, you go to Loblaws and you find all these pink stickers on various products. You even find them on Mike's Lemonade. Alcohol is shown to have a link with breast cancer. You have them on all these soy products. Soya has a link to breast cancer. People don't think anymore. People see the word awareness and they're like, oh, you know what? As long as I'm doing it, I'm good. I'm a hero. That's not the point. The point isn't the word boobies. The point is you're talking about saving a female's breast as if that defines her, as if that defines cancer. That has nothing to do with cancer. And I think that alone is something that we need to attack. It's not these bracelets. Let these kids wear the bracelets. They look like idiots. I'm sorry, but they do. It's a simple fact, and they haven't been told that. They just laugh at it, and they think, wow, I'm a rebel. I'm supporting something. Are you? What are you raising awareness for, the fact that you're an idiot? And no, this is something that I take very personally, and people can call in right now, and they could tell me off, and they could tell me whatever they want. But that's how I feel about it. I think that those campaigns are disgusting, and they're despicable, and they're offensive to women. They're offensive to us as a nation. They're offensive to our progress as a nation. And it's just, it needs to stop. Those bracelets need to stop. And it's not the word itself. It's what you're trying to promote. You're trying to tell me, as a female living in 2012, that all I amount to is my breasts. And I don't even have them anymore. And even those women, I'm privileged enough that I have the opportunity to have the cosmetic surgery to get mine back. And it'll never be the same. But there are so many women out there who don't even, you know, even women who don't have breast cancer, they're insecure about their size, whether it's big or small or whatever. Is that really the issue? Is that what we're really attacking? Like, we've come this far to really talk about your breasts and not talk about the fact that you're dying from something? I think that's disgusting.
And it is. And that's the message that we want to bring out of this show. But there's some good things out there. There's some good campaigns.
There are.
There, that, you know. And you know, we want to talk about some of the ways that people can actually make a difference and do some good. And this here is a young woman that also had breast cancer and ran her own campaign. And it's This Is Me section.
Me.
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 This is what it's like
to be.
To be me.
To be me.
This is what it's like to be me.
Lemonade is for sale. Cookies for sale.
Mom, I've been invited to a birthday party this weekend.
This is a wonderful idea for a party. Your class is being very supportive of your friend who is sick.
I founded the Sarah Cook Fund after I finished my cancer treatment at the Montreal Children's Hospital in 2001. And the core of our fund began with my friends hosting lemonade stands and donating the money, or asking for donations instead of birthday presents. Today, with the help of bigger events such as the Splash and Dash, the 401 Bike Challenge, Kids for Kids, and kids still hosting lemonade stands and birthday parties, 11 years later, we have been able to raise over $5 million, which has renovated the hematology oncology ward at the Montreal Children's Hospital, now called Sarah's Floor. We have also been able to set up many programs for the patients and their families, along with the nurses and doctors, one of which is art therapy. Having cancer is hard enough as it is without the little worries added on, and the money that we raise goes to help lighten the load of the families having to battle cancer. Cancer doesn't affect only the patient, it affects the whole family too. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for your help in making their lives a little easier.
That's a little better. Now we're on track. There's also actually, I was a part of, and I'm still a part of Face It London. It's a program that was started by my doctor, Dr. Annette Richard, and I'll post a link on Michelle's blog. But it's, again, I mean, the FANCHA students, I know if, locally, it's very local. The FANCHA students have been, as part of their fashion products or fashion projects, they've been coming up with all these products that they're giving to women who are going through breast cancer. Because I mean, when you're in the hospital, there are certain things that you can't do. There are obstacles. You're very strained in your movements. So they've been making these, you know, various objects for them to wear to help them out throughout their treatments. And that's something that's showing, that's awareness. That's raising the fact that you're saying, you know, that's raising the awareness of saying, I know that you're going through a hard time. You probably, you know, are having a bad day. It's an emotional ride. It's not just a physical ride. And that's, again, it's the symbolic look of it. We're thinking, when we think breast cancer, we're just focusing on the breast part of it. And we've created these symbols, even with these bracelets, that this is what this is about. And to me, when I hear stories like that, like the one that you just played, and when I know about what my doctor is doing, this is the kind of awareness we should be raising. And I don't believe, I know that we were talking about ends justifying the means and how, you know, sex sells and marketing has to be loud. But I think in issues like cancer, where you have, you know, prostate, breast, whatever type of cancer, it's a very humane problem and it's a humane issue and it'll never die off. It's unfortunately something that everybody in your life, you'll meet someone in your lifetime that's had it. And I think that as a collective, it should be something that we should, you know, come together in a campaign that's not loud. It should be something that's very innate for us to support. And maybe that is an issue on its own.
Well, let's talk about this other clip here that I've got, and it's Creativity Against Cancer. And it's another woman that that has done something that is real awareness.
My name's Stacey. I'm from Sunderland and I'm 23 years old. I've been into art since I can remember. I think I've been drawn since I was about 7. A lot of my art that I do now is portraiture. My EV Fixes project is called Creative Against Cancer. I'm going to put together a book of portraits of people who have been affected by cancer, along with their stories, to raise money for Cancer Research UK. The reason I'm doing this project really was my granddad. In July 2009, we lost him to cancer, and we'd only known he had cancer for about 3 weeks before he died. So that was like a huge loss, because the whole family are really close to him. He always loved my artwork, and he really wanted to see me go far with it, so it just seemed like the perfect thing to do, really. I've just started a portrait of my granddad. It's quite a hard thing to do, looking at him for such a long time, but I really feel that it's important that he is in the book, because he is the main inspiration behind it. Doing this book has actually helped me a lot with my grief, I think, and I'm hoping with the book, when people actually open it and read the stories that everyone else has sent in, maybe like they can relate to it, and maybe it'll help them too. A lot of people who have sent their stories in have been young people, a lot younger than me. Some of them were like 15 or something, and they've lost a parent, which is like, I can't even imagine how it must feel. ITV Fixes has set up a meeting for me to deal with a local celebrity, Tony Jeffries. He's a boxer and he's an Olympic bronze medalist. He lost his coach to cancer. Hopefully he's going to get involved in the book by donating a photograph of him and his coach for me to draw.
Hi, this is the photo I might be playing with my coach, Bobby. He passed away in 2005. So, you think he would draw that one?
Yeah. Should be able to work from that, no problem.
That'd be spot on that.
Thank you for...
Sorry. So for thank you for doing this. And it's a great idea and everything that you've done is brilliant. I hope we raise a fortune. I'll certainly be buying one of these books. And
thank you.
I'm sure most people in Sunderland will.
Sin, there's a fundraising campaign that builds awareness, raises a lot of money, but
It's true stories.
And it's not breaking stereotypes. It's not reinforcing false stereotypes. It's not loud in an offensive way. It binds what we already have within us to fight, you know, cancer and to raise awareness. And I mean, cancer, like I said, it's a very humane issue. And people, I mean, they can look past all the half-naked pictures that they're putting up there just to get, you know, the marketing sales and just to get people interested. You don't need to do that. You don't need to spark interest that way in any campaign, especially in cancer campaigns, because it is a very sensitive subject as well. And I think, yeah, something like that is absolutely creative. And it's again, it binds people towards a campaign that can last, too. I mean, this isn't a fad.
No, it's a book. And you know, and the book sales will continue always. And it's got all of the marketing. I mean, it's got Olympic athletes. It's got all of the wow. It's got the shock and awe. It's got everything that you need to get media attention without desensitizing the public to body image. And it's, you know, it's more than you know, creating humanity as a collection of parts instead of a person.
It's not color-coded. Hey, Michelle, did you know you were a girl? Here's a pink ribbon.
and the Movember, or the prostate cancer's blue ribbon.
Oh,
it's a tie.
Wow.
Surprise, surprise.
Blue and pink. Oh. I did not see that one coming.
Oh, wow.
Way to, you know, wow my brain on that one, world.
Yeah, let's just not get too in-depth here at all. And the last clip that we have to deal with is the issue of hair. And I mean, everybody that goes through chemotherapy loses all of their hair. And this campaign is called The Big Shave. And it deals directly with a massive fundraiser that deals directly with that issue.
To Health Now, where it's estimated that there are 10,000 people living with cancer in Aotearoa.
Yes, most people know of a family member or someone in their circle of friends that's been affected by cancer.
Well, this year, as a show of solidarity with cancer sufferers, Air New Zealand and the Leukemia and Blood Foundation organised the Big Shave fundraiser.
Against all the cultural stigma of being bald, one Tongan woman took up the challenge of sacrificing beauty to raise funds to cure cancer. John Pulu has more.
Luisa Fukafuka knows all too well about cancer and how painful the journey can be.
I'd actually lost two aunts within 10 months of each other, so it was, you know, it was such a huge thing for our family.
Standing by loved ones, helplessly watching them fade away, is something Luisa wouldn't wish on anyone.
It was devastating, I think, and just the struggle that they go through.
Every day, 6 people are diagnosed with blood cancer in New Zealand. Today, Luisa is stepping up, sacrificing her beautiful locks to raise money for the Leukemia and Blood Foundation's Big Shave campaign.
Well, the Big Shave is about showing solidarity and showing support for those living with blood cancers like leukemia.
Luisa is about to board a flight she will never forget. All passengers and crew on board this Auckland to Queenstown flight will shave their heads, showing their support for those affected by cancer.
It's a way for us to show that, you know, you're still okay, you're still human, you're still living the life. Just because you have no hair, that's okay, I have no hair too, you know? It's kind of a fun way to show support.
For Luisa, this is about paying respect to her aunts and a chance to help change lives.
Yeah, I wanted to do it in their memory and also just to help raise the money to support patients and families who have leukemia or any blood cancer.
Before boarding, each person is trimmed, making it easier to shave during the flight.
I'm excited. I think the shave will be fine for me. It's what people will think or you know, say when they see me without hair. And they might, I don't know, just worried about perception.
Luisa began collecting donations online earlier this year with a target of $500. But with huge support from family and friends, she had to set her sights much higher.
So I set a new target of $2,000. And money has just been pouring in from friends and family, and my colleagues have also put in a lot of money as well.
For many, going bald isn't ideal, but it's trivial really compared to those where going bald is the only deal.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
I am.
Here
we go.
You're gonna cry now.
As her locks are removed, emotions get the better of her. painful memory replaced by a selfless sacrifice.
I think initially they would think I was crazy, but I know ultimately they would think proud.
Not as good as the other ones?
I did have some issues with that. I mean, okay, here's the thing. I'm not saying with the show that I'm, you know, advocating people going out there and not participating in Movember, not participating in any of the Rethink Breast Cancer campaigns, because, I mean, it is us doing our part. And I feel like with her and the one before her, they stepped out of that box and they said, you know what, I'm going to raise awareness my way, and I'm going to raise it this other way, like another, a positive way. But there's still a lot of focus on the physical. And I mean, as a nation, I understand that, you know, we view ourselves as the underdogs, and I'm not saying that that's an excuse. We're at least trying. We're at least trying to support, and we're at least trying to raise awareness in our own ways. But I think we should, you know, for our future and in continuing to progress as a nation together, we should try to come up with campaigns that focus less on the physical attributes. Because I can tell you right now, the hardest thing for me as a 24, I'm 29 now, when I was 24 and I lost my hair, girl, my hair was long and beautiful. It was like Arab hair. It was beautiful. And I lost it all. And that was hard at first. But believe me, once chemo starts, once your medication starts, once your treatment starts, that's the least of your worries. And I think there's a lot more to cancer than hair. There's a lot more to cancer than the images that are being projected. And that's what we need to tackle together.
Something that I personally kind of feel is not emphasized enough in like in any campaign. But I mean, in this case of cancer, is like how... It's the idea of solidarity, not charity, you know? Mm-hmm. Not that, I mean, obviously charity is a big part of this, and raising money, raising awareness. But what about direct action to show solidarity for people in your local community who are affected by cancer? I'm just curious as to what everyone's thoughts on that idea is, and what can people do if maybe... You know, people who maybe don't have time to commit to a campaign long term, but still want to show their support. Like, what are your thoughts on how people can go about that?
I've seen a lot of people personally at the cancer clinic who help out. There's a lot of volunteers. I don't know if you guys have been there recently, but the clinic has these computers now where instead of coming in and signing in on a chart, you're coming in and you're using a computer, like a touch screen, to write how much pain you're in. And I find it kind of hilarious. Like, it gives you a scale between 1 to 10. And it seriously asks you, one of the first questions is, how's your mood today? Well, pretty crappy, because I'm at the cancer clinic. Thank you for asking. I'll put a 10. the machines are really hard to use. And there are a lot of seniors there that don't have the support that they have. They might not have a family member that they can come in with, or they just don't have that support available. So there are a lot of people, and I advocate it a lot, and I think a lot of people should look into it, especially younger kids. If you want to help out, go to the cancer clinic. Mm-hmm. They need it. They need volunteers walking around with water.
Exactly.
They need volunteers walking around with cookies, because your blood levels are all messed up.
Mm-hmm.
That's a way to help out, and it doesn't have to be every day. It could be, you know, for an hour during the entire week.
Exactly.
Because it's not like cancer is closing down and the clinic is closing down. But that's one way to do it. Another is to learn about the subject. And, you know, when it comes up, you can talk about it. You can give facts, statistics. You can tell people where to go, where to get checked for it. Instead of walking around and saying, I look like Tom Selleck today. You know, you can, there's more to it. And I think there are so many little ways to help that are being overshadowed mm-hmm. by the big markets
yeah.
and the big marketing symbols. And I think that has to end. I think we're a lot smarter, and we should give ourselves a lot more credit for that.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it is... Oh, I grew a mustache, so I can hands off the topic now.
Yes, yeah.
Right? And this whole thing where people can, you know, somebody knocks on their door and it's a children's charity, so I give a couple of bucks and I'm done.
You don't even think about it.
You know, that's and then you can go, oh, yeah, I gave to charity.
You're being so selfless.
Yes. You know, and there's more to our society. There's more to community engagement than writing a check.
Mm-hmm.
And the more our society gets involved, and, you know, that's what Bailey's talking about, I think.
Yeah.
You know, the more we get involved, the more we actually hands-on helping people.
And we're lucky because we live in North America, and a lot of us work. and we can afford to go to these campaigns and support them, but a lot of other people can't.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So this has been Between the Margins, a show about human rights and people's pursuit of happily ever after. I'm Michelle Boyce.
I'm Bailey Lamont.
And I'm Maha El-Sabawi.
And thank you very much, Maha, for coming on and, again, putting your life out there for the world to learn about.
Oh, no problem. And for any of the Tom Selleck fans out there, I do apologize if you're a Tom Selleck fan and I offended you in any way. I don't actually apologize. I think it's hilarious.
Yeah, thank you so much. This is actually awesome. A lot of the things you said, I'm gonna be honest here, like, I had never thought of any, like, when it comes to, like, campaigns, like Movember and stuff, like, I've never really had a critical viewpoint on it. It's just never something that I thought about personally.
You should start following me on Facebook.
So this was awesome to hear a new perspective.
Thank you, Billy.
So to listen to this show and all of the rest of our shows, go to www.betweenthemargins.ca, where you can catch everything that we've ever done and everything we will ever do. And I hope you have your happily ever after, whatever that looks like to you.
Cheers.